Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air, online, and streaming live video to Facebook and YouTube, and we would love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. Again, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're continuing our conversation on truth. This whole month we've been talking about apologetics, and when you think about apologetics, you think of three particular subjects. Origins, that's what people have a question about, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and truth. And this past week, or starting yesterday, we started our conversation about truth. Before we dive into it, I wanted to read a comment from one of our Facebook friends, Chris. Mm-hmm. And I love this comment. I just read it this morning. He said this, and this is in response to our e-devotional. So we offer a daily e-devotional for anybody that would like that. All you have to do is go to our website, sign up, and we'll send you a daily devotional Monday through Friday, all about the grace of God, the truth about the love of God. It's just a wonderful way to start every day getting connected to the love of Jesus Christ. Yeah. But Chris wrote this in response to this. He says, "I was dying, but now because of Jesus, I will live forever. I was guilty, but because of Jesus, I am now forgiven." And then with tongue firmly planted in cheek, he said, "Other than that, Jesus hasn't done much for me lately, LOL. I thought, what a great comment. I love our Facebook friends. I love having interaction like this with folks on a daily basis. And he's absolutely right. I mean, when you come to grips with the fact that Christ came that we might have life, and that when we receive Christ, we actually go from death to life, and his life comes to live inside of us. And when we receive that life, we receive forgiveness of sins. I mean, that is just a huge truth that so many of us just gloss over. We don't pay enough attention to. But that's the truth that we really need to understand. We really need to know what that is all about, the fact that we are fully alive in Christ, the fact that we are totally forgiven of all of our sins. And that leads us to our verse of the day, 3 John, and I'm going to read verses 3 and 4 in this short little book. And it says, it gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. Then he says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." Well, what truth is he talking about? Well, this truth that our sins have been totally forgiven. There's nothing more that we need to do. There's no more forgiveness that we need to receive. If we have Christ, he's dumped the whole ball of forgiveness into us. We're totally forgiven. We stand before him as forgiven people. That's a truth that not many Christians actually walk in. They're afraid every time they sin. They're wondering when God is going to drop the hammer of punishment upon them. They judge every negative circumstance as a punishment. I know, God, you're doing this because of something I've done in the past. So they're judging those circumstances and judging God's heart through their own sins. They're not walking in the truth that Christ has taken away their sins once and for all. They're also not walking in the truth of what real salvation is. Salvation is not forgiveness. That's a part of it. Salvation is being made alive together with Christ. That's what salvation is. That's the truth that we need to walk in. So from an apologetics point of view, we have attacks from the outside, and then there are attacks from the inside. Yes. People are saying that, oh, no, Christ, he died for our sins, but you need to do this, this, and this in order to be forgiven, or you need to do this, this, and this in order to be loved and accepted in God's sight. Well, those aren't true statements. They go against the truth of the gospel, and yet they're coming from within the household of faith, so to speak.
Yes.
From within that pell that we call Christianity. Well, we need to realize that there is truth. It's simple, It's pure. It's powerful. When we walk in it, that's when things change inside of us.
Absolutely. But it is basic gospel, and that's the good news you hear every day right here on this broadcast. Plenty of open lines right now, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you on today's edition of Basic Gospel. You know, faithful listeners know that Basic Gospel is here every day, on the air, online, from our website and on oneplace.com, and now streaming live video on both Facebook and YouTube. And we're excited about all of the venues God continues to open up to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. But as you know, it takes funding to do this. And as we've said many, many times, Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry. So we need your help to stay on track, bringing the good news every day. As Bob Christopher said just yesterday, we need an outpouring of support. To be specific, $32,400 to come in by the end of this month. And month end, of course, is pretty close at hand. So we ask you, our listeners, to step up with the most generous gift you can provide today or over the next 3 days, couple of 3 days to be sure, to help meet that need. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Prominent link on every page. Or you can, if you're hearing this program during the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, you can call 844-322-2742 and make your gift. Again, 844-322-2742 to make your gift or pose a question. And when you do make that gift, be sure to ask for your copy of Cold Case Christianity. And remember, you can call our toll-free number, 844-322-2742, 24 hours a day for questions or donations. Bob?
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go and talk to Matt, listening to us in Rochester, New York. Hi, Matt. How are you today, my friend?
Hi. I'm doing great. Thanks, Bob. How are you guys?
We're doing fantastic. So nice to hear from you.
It's nice to be heard.
Well, what's on your mind today?
My question is, I've heard it said in different circles that believers and unbelievers alike will at some point need to stand before God and give an account for, whether it be an account for our sin or an account for our actions or an account for how we live our lives. And I'm speaking specifically about believers, how we served God, or if we fell into sin, we'll have to give an account for whatever it might be. And I've always been under the impression that at that point, it'll all be all the bad works that are not works that are honoring, glorifying God will be burned up like hay, wood, and stubble. And there's nothing left there to account for. And I don't know if I'm on the right track with that response when I am confronted by someone that gives that line to me.
Well, Matt, as far as our sins are concerned, those sins have already been judged once and for all at the cross, and that happened 2,000 years ago. So, and in this new covenant, God says he remembers our sins no more. So he's not going to drag those sins out when you stand before him, and he's not going to play those on a giant video screen for you and the entire universe to see. That's been forgotten. That's been cast aside. That has been sent away. We can count on that. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ accomplished once and for all. So we don't have to fear standing before God. Those who don't know Christ, I think Christ is going to give them an opportunity to plead their case, and he's going to hear that, and he's going to say, on the basis of the case that you've presented, you fall way short. You haven't measured up to even your own standards. And what I was really concerned was whether or not you were going to receive life through faith in me, because I'm the only one that had life. And I think at that point, they're going to see what their judgment is, and they're going to understand it and spend eternity separated from God. But those of us who know Christ, who have been made alive, we're certainly not going to account for our sins. There's going to be, I think, an accounting of the things that were valuable in our life as far as advancing the kingdom. I think that's going to be a glorious moment for each and every one of us, not something that we need to fear. We'll get to actually see how God used us in this life down here to build his kingdom, to advance the good news of Jesus Christ, to touch the lives that God chose to touch in and through us. So this really isn't our work. This is his work through us, and we get a chance to see how he used us, and that's going to be a glorious thing. And I think, Matt, as you said, the rest of the stuff that was not of value as far as the kingdom of God is concerned, you know, it's not going to be a big deal. I mean, it's just going to be burnt up. And so, we won't have to worry about that.
I guess sometimes when I get into this conversation, I find myself defending someone who it might be a true believer, but still teaching a heresy. Let's say there's a pastor falls into some kind of a false teaching, and they're teaching, they're truly saved, they're blood bought, but they get into some kind of, they get off their rails a little bit and teach something that's, a heresy. And I guess I don't have a concern about it because I don't believe that I'm doing it, but let's say someone were, does that individual then have to give an account for that, or is that also just something that won't be there to be accounted for because they're clothed in Christ's righteousness?
Well, here's what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. So how are we building upon that foundation of Christ? That's the key thing right there. So how are we building on that foundation of Christ? Each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. So if we're going to build, we're going to have to build on top of that foundation. That's how God is going to use us. He's not going to put us on another rock. He's not going to put us on another foundation. It's building on the foundation of Christ. And if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is. So if you're building with the wrong materials, if you're using wood, hay, or straw, you're going to see that for what it is. And that day is going to show it. If you're using gold and silver and costly stones, these are the things that last. Those other things don't last. So that's going to be shown. We're going to see that for what it is. Now, the reason he does this, the reason he talks about these things is to say that we need to quit judging each other based on one another's work. So what was happening at the Church of Corinth? Well, some people were saying, my work of ministry is more valuable, more important than yours. So if you really want to be a super spiritual Christian, you need to do what I do. And then somebody else would say, oh, no, it's not what you do, it's what I'm doing. It's speaking in tongues that is important. Somebody else would say, no, it's prophecy. And somebody else would say, no, it's evangelism. And somebody else would say, no. And so Paul is just bringing down a hammer saying, quit judging one another. Why? Because you're going to stand before God. You're going to see the value of your work. Don't worry about what that other person is doing. Let God and that person figure it out, work it out. You just do what God is calling you to do. Do it passionately, but when you do it, use gold, silver, costly stones, and build on the foundation of Christ. This is God's work through you. He's not going to use wood, hay, and straw. Those aren't God's building materials. He's already set aside the building materials that are of value. Gold, silver, costly stones. You trust him. You allow him to work through you. I guarantee you, you're going to be building on the foundation of Christ using the right materials, and you're going to see that for what it is when you go and stand before the Lord.
Okay, very good. I appreciate your time, gentlemen. Have a great day.
Hey, thanks, Matt. Always good to hear from you, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Matt.
Have a good one.
844-322-2742. That's the number for questions or donations to Basic Gospel. We'd love to hear from you right now. 844-322-2742. Off hours, guys, a call came in from a listener in Montana. Let's listen to that question right now.
Hello. My question is, out of Isaiah 33:14, I believe, that fearfulness shall surprise the hypocrites. And I'm a Christian, but I am doing hypocritical things, and I feel the Lord has revealed to me several times, basically, he will deal with me as a son and scare the absolute pretty much scare me a lot in order to deal with me as a son. So thank you.
Well, that's a good question, and it really reveals a heart that hasn't really come to grips with who he is in Christ.
Yeah.
That sonship, that being a child of God. So when God disciplines us, and he's referring to Hebrews chapter 12,
yes,
he's disciplining us as a son. And he even uses the example of earthly fathers. And that discipline is a sign of love. So if God doesn't discipline you, and that means to teach, that means to instruct, that's what discipline is all about. If he's not doing that, then you're illegitimate. That's what the writer of Hebrews says. But the fact that he's involved with you is one of the most assuring, comforting things that you can really read in the Word of God. God is interested in you, and he disciplines you not as an act of punishment. So our caller was thinking that he's done hypocritical things, so God is going to get involved with him, take him out to the woodshed, just beat him to a pulp because he's done these hypocritical things. No, if God is in the process of disciplining us, it's for our good. It's so that we can produce a harvest of righteousness. Now, do we all get off in the weeds, as you would say, Richard?
On occasion.
Yes, yes, we all get off in the weeds. But that doesn't deter God from doing in us what he's promised that he will do, and that's to conform us to the image of Jesus. So we started at point A. We were dead in transgressions and sins. That's a pretty bad place to be. We were in darkness. We were under the control of the prince of the power of the air, following the ways of this world, living to gratify the desires of the flesh. That was point A for each and every one of us. At point A, God met us, and he did something for us that we could not do for ourselves, and that was to make us alive in Christ. Dead people don't have the power to raise themselves to life. God's power of resurrection entered in and raised us up so that we could walk in the newness of life. Now, that was point A. Point B, we're going to be conformed to the image of Christ.
Yes.
So Christ is going to move us down that path. Now, along that path, there's going to be a lot of curves. There's going to be a lot of wrong turns that we take when we try to lean on our own understanding, when we give in to the desires of the flesh or the ways of this world. But those things don't detract from God taking us to point B. He's going to get us there. We can count on it. And so when he disciplines us, when we've made those left turns or right turns, we're off the path, so to speak, it's to get us back on the path so that we can produce a harvest of righteousness, so that we can see, so that we can bear a harvest of righteousness. Why? Because that's for our good. That's what makes us fully human. That's what makes us the most content as human beings. So God's doing this for our good, so we don't have to worry about the punishment deal. That went upon Jesus. That's been taken care of once and for all. We've been set free from sin and death. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So let's welcome that discipline. Let's open our hearts and minds to that discipline, knowing that, one, it's a sign that God loves us, that we're truly his, that we belong to him, he belongs to us, and second, because he's doing it for our good.
Let me put it in really stark terms. He stumbled over a word. He said, what God wants to do is scare the hell out of me.
Right.
God never, ever in the history of the world did that.
Right.
What he did was rescue us from hell. Completely
right.
Opposite issue.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, yeah.
And he continues to rescue us. That's the discipline part of
yeah.
it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because sin is not a good thing.
No.
But let's make this straight, too. Let's make this clear. God's discipline happens all the time. So
yep.
it's not just at certain points in our lives, when we've gotten off in the weeds, when we've given in to the desires of the flesh, does God get involved and discipline us?
No.
God disciplines us every single day of our lives, 24/7, yep. 365. He's always teaching us. He's always aligning our hearts and minds to the truth of the gospel. He's always involved with us. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He's always there with us. So his discipline is constant. So we can just count that out, that he only gets involved when we need to be taken to the woodshed, because that is not the case.
Yes.
And so that discipline is always rescuing us.
Always.
It's always kind of saving us from what we might experience if we go this way or that way. Why? Because God loves us that much. He just loves us that much. And he doesn't want us to be impacted by the consequences of sin.
Yeah.
And sin hurts. Sin kills. Sin does all of those things. It ravages the human soul. And God wants to spare us of those things. That's why he's involved in us. So it's a rescue mission. First, he rescued us from death, brought us into life, and now he's rescuing these souls of ours, our mind, our emotions, and wills, so that they can experience the fullness of this life that we now have in Jesus. And boy, that is good news.
Absolutely. Well, we love hearing from our listeners, of course, and the caller from Montana was listening either on Christian Satellite Network or XM Channel 131, as was Roy, who wrote to us from Sundry, Alberta, Canada, and he had a question. It says, when and why did Christians change worship from Saturday to Sunday? My brother-in-law, he says, is Seventh-day Adventist, and we have this discussion a lot. Thank you for what you do, and that's from Roy in Sundry, Alberta.
Well, worship, that's a key word in there, and I think we need to kind of change the question. Did God change the Sabbath day? Did he move it from Saturday to a Sunday? And the answer to that is absolutely not.
Correct.
The Sabbath has always been the last day of the week. On that seventh day, God rested, and there was a purpose in that. He had finished his work. But it was also to show the eternal nature of our relationship with God.
Yes.
So God rested. The first thing we're to do, we were created on the sixth day. The first thing that we got to do was rest with God. So that shows how this relationship with God was supposed to start, as a relationship built on rest and love and grace and mercy and all of those sort of things. Now that day represented it in the law.
Yes.
That seventh day represented that rest that we're to have through faith in Jesus. But now that we're in the new covenant, that rest is every single day. We have entered into the Sabbath rest. That is a continual state. Now, we as believers worship on Sunday. We go to church on Sunday, most of us, in honor of the resurrection.
Yes.
Because Jesus was raised, and in being raised, he's ushered into this new covenant that we live in today, and that's good news.
That is great news. Thanks, Bob and Richard. Well, friends, we've talked about it all month long, and time is running short, so I hope you've taken the opportunity to make a donation to Basic Gospel and request your copy of crime scene investigator Jim Wallace's excellent book, Cold Case Christianity. We have a copy for you. But the primary factor here, friends, is that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, and that means we need your help, your support, to keep the good news coming every day. Between now and the end of this month, which is coming up pretty quickly, we need $32,400 in gifts to keep on track, and we hope you can help with a gift today. Click donate at basicgospel.net and make your gift and request your copy of Cold Case Christianity, powerful evidence to help you have rock-solid faith. But for sure, please make your donation and help us meet that goal of $32,400 over the next 3 days. Again, just click donate at basicgospel.net. And remember, you can call our toll-free number, 844-322-2742, 24 hours a day for questions and for your donations as well. Well, that's it for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. A pleasure being with you as always. We'll be back for another edition tomorrow. So for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team here at Basic Gospel, Bob Davis saying God bless you, and have a great evening in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.